Have you ever been on a perfectly good downwind, your instructor pulls the power to idle, and suddenly your brain just stops working for a second? You know exactly what I mean. That moment where the engine goes quiet and you think, okay, where am I landing? I'm Pattern on Traffic. Pattern, right here on Radio Hangar, and today we are going to dig into the power off 180 accuracy landing. This is one of those maneuvers that sounds simple on paper. You're on downwind, power comes out, you glide it around to a landing, and you touch down on a specific point. Simple, right? Except this maneuver has a reputation, and it has earned every bit of it. It is one of the most commonly failed maneuvers on the private pilot check ride, and a lot of students don't even realize they're weak on it until the designated pilot examiner, or DPE, pulls that throttle back on test day. So, let's walk through this together. What the maneuver actually requires, where students go wrong, and how you can nail it every single time. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com before we get into this. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right. Let's start with what the airman certification standards actually say. For the private pilot, airplane single engine land check ride, the power off 180 accuracy approach and landing falls under area of operation 4, which is takeoffs, landings, and go arounds. The ACS says you need to touch down at a specified point with no more than negative 200 feet from that point. Let me say that again. You can land up to 200 feet beyond the point, but you cannot land short of it. You also cannot land long by more than 200 feet. That's your window, and the examiner is looking for a stabilized approach, proper airspeed management, and good judgment throughout. Now, 200 feet sounds generous until you're actually up there, abeam your touchdown point at pattern altitude with the power at idle, and you realize you have to judge this entire glide by feel, sight picture, and energy management alone. No power adjustments, no second chances on the energy side of things. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. This maneuver is not really about the landing, it's about energy management from the moment that throttle comes to idle. The landing is just the result of everything you did in the previous 60 to 90 seconds. If you managed your energy well, the landing takes care of itself. If you didn't, no amount of last-second corrections will save it. So, let's break it down, step by step. You're flying a normal downwind at pattern altitude. For most training airports in something like a Cessna 172, that's about 1,000 feet above ground level. You're doing your normal downwind speed, which depending on your aircraft is probably somewhere around 90 to 100 knots. The examiner or your instructor calls power idle. The very first thing you do, and this is critical, is pitch for your best glide speed in a Cessna 172. That's about 65 knots indicated. Some newer models publish 68. Know your number. This is not the time to be guessing. Here's the first common mistake. A lot of students freeze for a second when the power comes out. They leave the nose where it was, the airplane starts decelerating, and they burn through altitude while the speed bleeds off. By the time they get configured and pitched for glide, they've already wasted 300 or 400 feet of altitude. That's altitude you cannot get back. The correct response is immediate power comes out. Carb heat on if your airplane has a carburetor. Pitch to best glide. That sequence should be automatic. You should practice it so many times that you don't have to think about it. Now here's the second piece that trips people up. When do you turn base? This is where the maneuver becomes an art as much as a science. There is no single perfect answer that works every time, because wind changes everything. On a calm day, a lot of instructors teach you to begin your turn to base when your aiming point is about 45 degrees behind your wing. That's a decent rule of thumb. But if you have a headwind on base, you're going to lose more ground track distance, so you might need to turn a little sooner. If you have a tailwind on base, you'll cover more ground, so you might delay the turn slightly. And this is where the third mistake comes in. Students often pick one technique and apply it robotically regardless of conditions. The DPE is not testing whether you memorized a formula. The examiner is looking for whether you can assess the situation and adjust. Can you look at that runway, judge your altitude and distance, factor in the wind, and make a good decision about when to turn and how to configure? Let's talk about configuration for a second, because this is another area where I see students get into trouble. When do you put in flaps? The answer is, you use flaps as a tool to control your descent profile. If you're high, you add flaps earlier and more aggressively. If you're right on profile, you add them incrementally. If you're low, you might delay flaps or use fewer degrees than you normally would. Some students dump in full flaps right away out of habit, because that's what they do on a normal landing. But this isn't a normal landing. You have no power to bail you out if you descend too rapidly. Conversely, I've seen students who are terrified of being low, so they hold off on flaps entirely and come screaming in way too fast and way too high, and they blow right through their touchdown point. The key concept here is the glide path is something you actively manage. You're constantly evaluating. Am I high? Am I low? Am I on profile? And you adjust with a combination of flap deployment, bank angle in the turn, and minor speed adjustments. Slips are absolutely fair game too. If you're high on final, a forward slip is a great tool to steepen your descent without adding speed. Just make sure you're comfortable with slips, and that your airplane's operating handbook doesn't restrict slipping with full flaps. Many Cessna models do restrict that combination. Now the turn from base to final. This is where a lot of check rides go sideways. Literally, students who are low on base will try to stretch the glide by pulling the nose up. Bad idea. All you're doing is slowing down, increasing your descent rate, and getting closer to a stall, in a turn. Close to the ground. That is the setup for a base to final stall spin accident, which is one of the most lethal scenarios in general aviation. If you're on base and you realize you're too low to make the runway, the correct answer is to go around. Yes, you can go around during this maneuver. The ACS even says so. Initiating a go-around when it's the safe and appropriate thing to do is not a failure. In fact, it demonstrates good aeronautical decision-making, which is something the examiner wants to see. What will fail you is trying to stretch a glide that isn't there and putting yourself in an unsafe situation on the other side. If you're high-turning final, that's where your slip comes in. Drop a wing into the wind, apply opposite rudder, and let the airplane come down steeper as you approach your aiming point. Smoothly come out of the slip, transition to a normal flare, and put it on the spot. Here's a practice technique that helped me enormously and I pass on to all my students. Go out on a day with light winds. Fly a normal traffic pattern, on downwind, abeam your chosen touchdown point, pull the power to idle, and just practice the glide. Don't worry about nailing the exact spot on your first few attempts. Focus on the process, power idle, pitch for best glide. Assess your position, turn base, manage your energy, turn final, adjust with flaps or a slip, and land. Do it 10 times, 15 times, you will start to develop an intuitive sense for what the right glide path looks like from various positions in the pattern. Then start adding variables. Try it with a crosswind. Try it from a slightly wider downwind. Try it from a slightly closer downwind. Each variation teaches you something about how the airplane behaves and how to adjust. There's another mistake I want to mention that is more subtle. Some students become so fixated on the touchdown point that they forget to actually fly the airplane. They're staring at the numbers on the runway so hard that they stop scanning for traffic. They stop checking their airspeed, and their coordination gets sloppy. The examiner is evaluating the whole picture, not just where you touch down. You need to maintain coordinated flight. Keep your speed within plus 5 minus 0 of your target according to the ACS, and demonstrate good situational awareness all the way through. Let me give you a real scenario that I've seen play out more than once. Student is on the check ride. DPE pulls the power abeam the numbers. Student pitches for best glide. Solid start. Turns base a little early because they're nervous about being low. Now they're slightly high on base. They recognize it but don't add flaps because they're second-guessing themselves. They turn final, still high. Now they're fast because the nose has been a little low to try to see the runway. They float past their touchdown point by 300 feet because they had too much energy. Maneuver failed, not because they couldn't fly the airplane, but because they didn't manage the energy actively enough throughout the approach. The fix for that scenario? Recognize you're high on base, add 10 degrees of flaps to steepen the descent, turn final, evaluate again, still a little high, add another 10 degrees, or initiate a slight slip. Control the energy the whole way down, be proactive, not reactive. One more thing, after your main wheels touch down, the maneuver isn't over, the examiner is still watching. Maintain directional control on the rollout. Apply brakes smoothly if needed. Don't get so relieved that you landed on the spot that you forget to fly the airplane on the ground. Let me summarize the big takeaways here. First, when power comes out, your response should be immediate and automatic. Pitch for best glide, configure the airplane, and start assessing. Second, use your base turn timing and flap deployment as your primary energy management tools. Don't be robotic about either one. Third, slips are your friend on final if you're high. Practice them until they're comfortable. Fourth, never stretch a glide by pulling the nose up when you're low and slow. Accept the go-around. It shows good judgment. And fifth, practice this maneuver in different conditions until you develop a feel for the right energy profile. There is no substitute for repetition. This maneuver brings together airspeed management, energy awareness, wind correction, and decision-making all in about 90 seconds. When you can do it consistently, you're not just checking a box for the check ride. You're building the skills that will serve you if you ever have a real engine failure in the pattern. Most of what I covered today you can find in the Airplane Flying Handbook, specifically Chapter 8 on Approaches and Landings, along with the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards. Both are available free from the FAA. Alright, that's all for this one. Go out there and burn some AVGAs on those power-off 180s. You'll be glad you did. See you next time on Radio Hangar.